Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
Southern Gospel friends, we are sad to learn the passing of a broadcasting legend, Paul Heil. Paul Heil, host of the Gospel Greats, heard on hundreds of stations literally through the United States, passed away of an apparent heart attack on December 27th. The gospel music world is stunned right now. We've got a new podcast coming out January 1st, but felt it necessary to replay this edition of our interview on Southern Gospel News podcast with the late Paul Heil. One thing about Paul, we all know he's in the presence of Jesus. God bless the Heil family. Thank you for doing the gospel great so many years, and blessings. Now here's that interview with Southern Gospel News podcast and the legend, we've got Southern Gospel Music Association Hall of Fame member, Paul Heil. Be blessed.
And folks, if you're an ex-radio guy like me, sometimes you get to talk to folks. If you were a TV guy and you were an anchor on TV and you got to interview Walter Cronkite, or if you got to interview, I don't know who these guys are today because I don't watch it, you know, Al Roker, the weatherman on NBC. If you got to interview one of the big timers, you would probably be excited because you're talking to somebody in your industry. And today, if you've ever listened to gospel radio, country radio, contemporary radio, all kind of radio stations all across the country and the world, and you've had an opportunity to listen to the best program out there, and when I say the best, it's far and away. There's nobody even close. You've heard this man that I'm about to talk to, the gospel greats, Mr. Paul Heil. Paul, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Doing awesome. Thank you for taking your time out of your day to do this little interview with us. We've been blessed. And how's things been going with the Gospel Greats here recently?
Going well. It's I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I just love it. I think I've been, it's an overused word, but I think I've been called to do what I do, and so it's going well. You know, if I could digress just for a moment,
take your time.
You were saying in your introduction about the people that you talk to and you visit and so forth in radio. My experience like that has been with Paul Harvey. Yeah. Some years ago, I grew up listening to Paul Harvey every mm-hmm. day on the news at noontime.
Right.
And some years ago now, while he was still doing his broadcast in Chicago every day, the family took a vacation to Chicago. And through a local affiliate who had been carrying our program at that time, they made arrangements that we could go actually and visit with Paul Harvey. And not only did we visit with Paul Harvey, but Sheila and I actually sat in his studio as he did the noon newscast, which went out all over the country, of course. And here I was hearing with my own ears that voice, which I had heard on the radio since I was in school in ninth grade and smuggled a radio in so I could listen to him at lunchtime. So I know exactly what you're talking about when it comes to having those kind of dreams fulfilled, you might say.
A little insider knowledge here, and I'll tell you this, talking to my buddies in the ad world, I said, what's the most expensive endorsement in radio history? And my buddies down at Ad Results in Houston said, without a doubt, Paul Harvey. And he quit doing them probably 20 years ago. And he was still the voice, you know, the rest of the story with Paul Harvey. So thank you for that. How long has the Gospel Greats been going on, Paul? How long have you been doing it?
Well, we are in our 39th year. Back in February, it started, 38 years ago in February. So we're about, that much farther along. We're in our 39th year, and I have trouble believing that sometimes. It seems like I've been doing that longer than anything else. which I guess if you're doing anything for 39 years is pretty good. But I really enjoy it. I enjoy doing what we're doing.
How'd you get into it? How'd you start?
Well, my background was always radio.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I'd listen to radio. Of course, back in those days, it was Top 40 radio was the big thing. And our hometown happened to have one of the leaders in the format nationally. So I loved their production. In fact, more than the music, I didn't much care about the music, but what I loved was all the production elements that went into what they did on the air. And, of course, back in those days, it was all done with carts and with other kinds of things, no computers involved. And so it was much more difficult, and yet they managed to pull off all of these effects and all of these elements that went into the production. So production, radio production, really caught my attention. And it stayed that way. During high school, even before I was out of high school, I was employed at a local radio station here to do some fill-in work on the weekends. You know how that works.
Yes.
And I loved it. And so during college, I remained at that station and also worked at the college radio station. And it was in my blood. I can't deny that. I just loved radio. I love the formatics of it. I love the way it can be put together. And in what we're doing now, well, one step back. During for about 7 years, I was a radio news director.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved the way that we could put together information in a compelling way, and an interesting way, in a way that wasn't just rip and read, so to speak. That it would present the information in such a way that people could find it very understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that, with an emphasis, by the way, on what we call actuality. You know what that is? It's the, mm-hmm. the clips of voice clips of newsmakers. And all of that comes through in what I'm doing to this day, because it's all the program, the unique sound of the Gospel Greats program goes to the interview material and the news material that we present during the program and the way that we present it. And we tried to do that in a very tightly edited and interesting and compelling way.
Now, you got to tell me this. You're a production guy. You love production. Do you miss splicing tape? That's the big question.
Do I miss it?
Yeah.
Not a chance. We still have, the studio has, when we started the program back in 1980, the studio was actually in the basement of the house.
Yeah.
And so I did my, I had my studio there, and I did all my editing there. And did a lot of tape splicing. I mean, a lot of tape splicing. I had to have a big budget item each year for splicing tape. But
and folks, let me just stop real quick, because we're talking so much inside radio, if we've lost you. What he's talking about is you take reel-to-reel tapes, like just like your old cassette tapes, and you cut them and you splice them together and basically tape them together. Is that not correct, Paul?
That's exactly right. And, of course, I did a lot of that back then. And I guess the point of the story I was going to make was, after about 14 years at the house, we moved the studio to where we are now. And just last summer, I was working in that room at the house where we used to do the program. I was tearing out the paneling and everything to try to do some renovation work down there. And lo and behold, I find these little pieces of splicing tape all over all over the floor in certain areas. So it's been there for 20 years. And no, to answer your original question, I do not miss splicing tape. Working with the digital editing, which is what we do now on the computers,
yeah,
is so much more precise and actually allows it to be tighter. And the key, of course, as you well know, is to edit in such a way that nobody will know it's been edited.
Yep. So anyway, and you've probably got the war wound somewhere on your index finger to prove that you were an excellent splicer. So anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. And now, this is very insider as well, and you might find this surprising. I never used a blade.
Really?
For all of that editing. I always use scissors.
Wow. You know what?
The station I worked at, they called me Snips.
Nice. I could talk about it. We could do a whole show on splicing tape, and we'll leave it at that. But tell us about Paul Howell, the man. You know, we all know you're for lack of a better word, you're a historian in regards to gospel music. You have to be because of all the interviews you've done through the years. But what does Paul like to do on Paul and Sheila's On Time outside of gospel music? Things that folks don't know about Paul Howell, you know, children, grandchildren, kids, friends, family. Tell us a little bit about Paul Howell.
Well, I touched on one of the things there. I love renovating around the house, and I do a lot of that myself. I know what my limitations are, so I don't go beyond those limitations. But I love to do that. But you mentioned grandchildren. We have our first grandchild as of last September, and she has stolen our hearts. So we get a chance to be around her a couple times a week, and that is just there is nothing like it.
It's fun stuff.
Oh yeah,
fun stuff. You know, the business of gospel music's constantly changing. You said you started in the 80s. It was going through a little flux there in the 80s with the contemporary feel was starting off and gospel was starting off. You've seen the cathedrals phenomenon. You've seen the Gaither phenomenon. Where do you see the industry going from your perspective, and where have you seen it progressed from to where it is now?
Well, you know, I used to worry more about that. You know, what's going to happen to this music? Well, I've been doing it now in the music for 38 plus years, and it changes. It's not going away. It just changes. We have so many different kinds of things going on. You mentioned starting back in the 80s with the groups that were around back then. That, to me, as I look back in retrospect, is one of the biggest privileges I've had. I mean, I knew these people. I knew the cathedrals. And one of the most interesting programs I think I ever did was our 20th anniversary program back in, what would that have been, 2000, I guess, when we actually did it with George Ounce in his sunroom at his house. And they were special. The cathedrals were absolutely special people, and we got to know them quite well over the years. But to get to know these other people, Brock Speer, J.D. Sumner, and so forth, and Hopi Lister, and others of that era that we could actually call friends. James Blackwood had a chance to write a little piece in a book that he put together. That has been one of the greatest privileges that I've had, and it just came along with what I do, the kind of work I do. We got to meet these people and call them friends, and that's true with so many of the different groups that we've encountered over the years. I mean, we have gotten to know these people. And not only gotten to know these people, but to be able to call them friends. And I hope they can call us friends, and I'm sure they do. But for 30 years, you know, we've been interviewing, for instance, Karen Peck and New River. And we started talking to her when she was back with the Rex Neeland Singers. So it's just neat to see the longtime relationships that have been developed. And I think that helps the program that we do even today, because when we do an interview, it's not like they're being interviewed by somebody for the first time. Mm-hmm. They know us, they know what we do, and the kinds of things we're interested in talking about, and that goes far beyond just the surface kind of things. I think we've sort of trained people over the years that, hey, you know, we don't want to talk necessarily about, oh, this record signing and this thing in the studio that happened and all of that. That's interesting, okay, to a point. We're more interested in what they're putting in their music. We're more interested in the message that's being portrayed in the song, what they hope to accomplish through the song. And I don't mean a high chart position or anything like that. I'm talking about what message they're trying to get out to the people who hear that particular song, both in their concerts and on the radio. And I think that has happened over the years, that people understand that. And I'm hoping it's not just because of the experience that they've had with us doing those particular kind of interviews. I'm hoping, and I think this is the case, that there is a feeling among so many of the artists, a growing feeling that this is indeed a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That element has always been there, but I think it's becoming more and more and more important as the time goes by.
No doubt. By our calculations, I wished I had your voice, because if I had your voice, I'd be a millionaire. I'm teasing with you, my friend.
Well, if you figure out how to do that, let me know.
I guess that's why I'm the ad guy. You know, I was always told in the radio world, the sales guy wanted to be on the air, and the guy on the air wanted to be the sales guy. So I guess we get to, you know, have fun with it. By our calculations, you've done close to 100,000 shows. You know, 40 years, 50 shows a week. I mean, 50 shows a year, one a week, you know, give or take a few there. You mentioned the interview with George at his home there in Stowe, Ohio, and with the cathedrals. What's some of the big things that stand out? When somebody mentions the gospel greats and doing this show, what's one of the first memories that comes to your mind that just pops up and you just think, wow, that was amazing?
Well, that was one of them that we had a chance to do that. Over the years, the people that we've come to be able to interview, and you know, it's interesting to me because it's one of those things that you look back in hindsight and you can see, and you might not understand it or be even aware of it at the time. That who these people are that you're talking to,
mm-hmm.
and the history, the living history that you are talking to at that time, and so there's been so much of that, and I feel like an old guy sometimes looking back.
All right, Paul, we're gonna play a little game here with you, little word association game. My wife and I, we used to do this with our children. I'm going to name a gospel music legend or today's performer, and I want you to give me a little first thing that comes to your mind about him. Fair enough?
Oh, well, we'll try.
All right, here we go. Ben Spear.
Oh, Ben Spear was musician, arranger extraordinaire, and quite a businessman, too. And he was just a very nice person. I mean, that sounds like something you'd say about somebody, but it was true. He was very easy to deal with. He was very conscientious in what he did. Was a stickler for music in terms of the precision of how to sing and how to play music. So he was extraordinary in many ways.
My hometown guy, got to throw this one in there, Rex Neilan.
Oh, Rex Neilan. He's quite a guy. He was, you know, I shouldn't tell you this, but he was somebody. He was one of my most challenging interviews early on.
I could see that.
Because I'd go through a long life question and ask him a certain kind of thing, and he would say, yes. That was it. I mean, he answered the question, but it wasn't good radio.
Right.
And so as time went on, it two things happened. First, I learned how to phrase questions
right.
that could not be answered with a yes or no.
Yeah.
And secondly, he became more familiar with what we did and how we did it, and so he was much more willing to talk. But he was a great guy as well.
From the mountains of North Carolina, Martin Cook.
Oh yeah, Martin is sort of one of a kind. He's enthusiastic is a word that comes to mind when you think about Martin Cook, because he loves the music that he plays. He loves the music that the group sings, even to this day. He just loves it. And he quit a teaching job to go on the road, and be take this quartet, his students, on the road. So now he was very, very much an enthusiastic person when it comes to gospel music and the kind of gospel music that they sang. He was very, very enthusiastic about that traditional quartet sound.
No doubt. Last one. Let's bring a new one up here. Jason Crabb.
Oh, my goodness. Jason's quite a guy. I mean, he's got so much going for him. He's got such personality. He I think can deal with just about anything you throw his way. And he's got a heart for ministry as well. I mean, it even comes through beyond the music when he writes these little books for children. What's the name of the crab?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the crab books that he has with a little crab named Jason or somebody. I forget. But, I mean, even that just goes to show that he's ministry-oriented, and he's concerned about getting the message out in whatever way the Lord provides for him to be able to do that. And so, his music cuts across genres, I think you
right.
might say, because he's so well known, of course, in Southern gospel music, but contemporary people love him as well.
No doubt.
And country music. So it's he's got quite a ministry.
My producer just passed me a note through over the table, and he said he talked about getting Rex to talk. Okay, here's your chance, Paul. Who is the person that you never had a problem to get to talk other than Karen Peck? Because we all love Karen, and we all know Karen can talk, and Karen won't mind us saying that. But who's the person out there that you thought, boy, I don't even have to do an interview. They'll do the interview for me, and I don't even have to ask the question.
Well, this goes back a ways, but I'd say Jeff Gibson.
Really?
Heavenbound. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember Heavenbound Jeff Gibson.
And Jeff Gibson, he would speak. we talked about editing back in the tape days. He would speak in clips. I mean, he just gave me what I needed, the exact length I needed, and no editing required. He did a wonderful job. And I haven't seen Jeff in many, many, many years, but I think about that every now and then, and that's probably one of the best answers I could come up with to your question.
That's cool. Question for you. Has there ever been someone in any genre, it doesn't have to be gospel music, or it could have been gospel music, that you would have loved to sat down and interviewed and spent 20, 30 minutes with and talked to them, and why was it that person?
That is a very good question. I don't know. I've been blessed to be able to talk to just about everybody I've wanted to talk to over the years.
Yeah.
It seems to me like there was somebody that I was thinking about one time that I would have loved to talk to, but didn't get that chance. I can't come up with
that. That's fine. You know, I think of in doing these interviews in a short time, I have learned life lessons from people that have taken me and given me new perspective. You know, back when I was on radio, I became fast friends because I was in Atlanta. So I was able to sit down with Hovey in the latter years of his life, and Hovey gave me some great insight on stuff. And then we talked to Maurice, and you've heard the Maurice Templeton interview, the former owner of the Singing News, and you told me you listened to that. And when we asked Maurice questions, he gave us great insight. Can you think of any off the top of your head, and I know I'm catching you off guard because I didn't prepare you for this question, but can you think of any great insight that somebody or a nugget of knowledge that somebody has given you over the years that's kind of stuck with you and made you think, wow, and you've carried it on throughout life?
Well, it's more an accumulation of a lot of little nuggets the years. And then one profound epiphany or anything. I can't think of any one thing, but it's just the fact that there are a lot of people, and as you mentioned, Maurice Templeton, he just had such business wisdom over the years, and I appreciated him and still do appreciate him for everything he did for Southern gospel music. I mean, he didn't have to. He just loved the music as well, and brought his gifts in many different ways. You can define that to Southern gospel music. So I would say, if I were to suggest to people in the music, remember who we're singing for. Remember who we're working for. Remember why we're doing all this. And it's not just to entertain, although that's part of it. I like your four words, edify, encourage, inspire, and entertain, because that's exactly what we're trying to do, all of those things, and get the word out to spread the gospel. I always say on the program, you know, the gospel greats, the greatest songs about the greatest message, the gospel. And that's what it is.
Well, you kind of stole my last question with that answer. But I'm going to ask you the last question anyway. If you had been in any other genre of music, and let's just say if you'd been in the pop world doing a program like the Gospel Greats, in country doing a program like this, even potentially in the contemporary world, and maybe you've done this and I just don't know about it. I don't think it's been done. You no doubt would have been brought to the front of the class or to the front of the room in front of a lot of other Southern gospel disc jockeys in particular and gospel music professionals. And they would have sat at in the auditorium, and the announcer would have said, folks, here's Paul Howell, and he's going to give us a little bit of wisdom on how we can improve our craft and on what we can do better to promote the greatest music this side of heaven. 60 seconds, Paul. What do you say to those guys and girls?
I say, like the old song said, give of your best to the master. Because gospel music certainly is worth doing the very best job that we can do. It's worth a lot more than just making a living. Doing what I'm doing, if I had been in a different kind of music, a different genre of music, I don't think I'd have nearly the gratification that I have. I might have more money, but I don't think I'd have nearly the gratification that I have in helping get the gospel out. We get emails each and every week from people who heard a particular song or who read something in my weekly email newsletter. I do a little devotional there, and so does my wife, Sheila, that touched them in a special way, that say, you know, this is exactly the kind of message I needed to hear. So that's not just me. That's the songwriters who write these songs. That's the groups who record these songs. That's the record companies that put the songs out there, the recording studio, the engineers, all of that. That's all of these people. That's the radio station that puts this on the air. We are all involved in this, but we all need to remember why we're doing it. So we need to do the best possible job. And we talk about that being as professional as possible, but it's really just doing the job right, so that the word, the gospel, is not hindered by any failure on our part.
Paul, no doubt we've got some people that potentially listening to the podcast today, some younger folks, that may have never have heard of Paul Howe. How do they find out about the Gospel Greats? Where do they go to find it? And how many stations are you on nationwide now?
Well, we're on about, I don't know, it's about 175 or something like that. It used to be easy to count the tapes that went out the door, but we don't do it that way anymore. So it's a little difficult, and we have a lot of stations that are parts of little regional networks, so it's right. It's hard to get a count, and we have never wanted to overinflate that. But there is information on our website, which is thegospelgreats.com, and it's information on there about the program. There's even a page, there's a what we call a station finder. You can plug in your zip code, and it'll tell you if there's any station nearby. There's another page that has all the stations listed that stream their programming, and of course that includes us. So there's a lot of opportunity there to hear the program, and it's also available on satellite radio.
Paul, thank you so much for your time today. I feel like, you know, we're talking to the dean of Gospel Music Radio, and it's been our pleasure to talk to you today. I need to throw this one little thing out there, because being the dean, you're allowed to say and do what you want, okay? Have I not asked you some? I mean, this you're not used to being on this side of the mic. You're used to being on my side of the mic and asking the questions. Is there anything I hadn't asked you that you want to throw out there today that maybe you need to plug?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, but I don't know offhand of anything. If anybody's interested in our free weekly newsletter,
yeah,
by email, there's information about that on our website. And of course, we'd love to keep in touch once a week. That's it. Just once a week.
There you go.
But there's a lot goes into that, and we do get a great response. But we also have our mail order side, which is Springside,
yep.
Springside.com. That's Southern Gospel Music. All the different artists, all the different record labels, videos and whatnot. That's all at one site, springside.com. And we'd be happy to help out in any way we can there, too. So I think that just about covers it.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com.